Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you this first weekend of 2025. Oh my goodness, the stuff that's going on. Obviously, we can't ignore some of the events of this last week. I had other things planned, but you know what? I make my plans and then God gives a different direction. So that's okay. I want to be amenable to that. I want to welcome everybody to 2025. If you'd like to reach me, you may do so at redskyradio777 at gmail.com. That's redskyradio777 at gmail.com. And I would like to just kind of mention here, and maybe I may do this with some frequency, because I'm probably at an age where other guys are retiring. And I sort of tried that a little bit. It isn't working so well. It's not how I'm constructed. I have to plug in other things. And if the radio program could expand to where it took sucked up the rest of the time, I would be thrilled. Or preaching. But that hasn't happened yet. And maybe it never will. So seeing the direction that we were in, and the direction that we were going and the situation that we're in, I decided about 6 months ago I would actually expand my law practice at a time when most people are kind of winding it down. No, I can't do that. I'm licensed in California and Michigan. And as of last week, hallelujah, I'm now licensed in Arizona, which I had put off. I didn't want to do it. But after 4 or 5 months of various documents and things, a couple $1,000, the Arizona Supreme Court admitted me without a bar exam. Praise God. I've already taken 3 of them, nailed them all, but I didn't want to take a 4th. So I say that only because there are 3 states that I'm actually doing business in. And as it relates particularly, at least long distance, to estate planning issues. Wills, trust, probate administration, or trust administration. I serve as a trustee. So I'm going to throw that out there. If you're in California, Arizona, or Michigan listening to this program, those are 3 states in which I am able to do that kind of business. Now, I'm taking on here in a couple of weeks 3 small criminal cases in Arizona. That's not what I've done, but it's sort of a give back time. I can't do a criminal case in California or Michigan, of course. And there's other things that I can't do, but I do real estate workouts for people, 1031 transactions, and kind of all of those things that could be done through Zoom or FaceTime or certainly email. You may reach me, redskyradio777 at gmail.com. And we'll go from there. So I may make this pitch in subsequent programs, but I want to be of service. And I have also opened up this year to going wherever there's a reasonable call to preach. I don't care if it's Rapid City, South Dakota. Well, wait a second. That sounds like I don't like Rapid City, South Dakota. I actually love Rapid City, South Dakota. But I do. It's a great town and a great state. But sort of the idea here is I will go anywhere, Gulf Shores, Alabama, to, who knows, Surfside Beach, South Carolina. I don't care where there's somebody that would want to hear what I have to share. And it's going to be more preaching, of course, than political, obviously. But that's my 2025. It's just full speed ahead. There is no time to waste, no time to rest on my laurels. I don't want to rely on testimonies from 15 and 20 years ago. I would like testimonies that are 15 or 20 minutes old. So there you go. Now, to the program in front of us. I've given a title to this, and that is The Hounds of Hell Are Amongst Us. And goodness sakes, the stuff that's going on, I mean, we kind of had our we kind of had the honeymoon with Donald Trump. Well, maybe a little early, but we couldn't resist. Sort of had the honeymoon before the wedding, which is January 20th, right? So to speak. And that being the case, now things are being unleashed with all these plans to try to keep Trump from getting into office. To, he was right when he said, look, they're after you. It's just that I'm in the way. And we are seeing that. I mean, I can't make a particular connection here between the terrorist attack at the Trump hotel in Las Vegas, where I have stayed, and I love that hotel. It doesn't have a casino, which already means it's an upgrade. It's close to a five-star at a reasonable rate. I saw Trump there. The one time I was there, Trump happened to be there. Not that I, you know, sat down and had a Diet Coke with him, but it's a great hotel. And that somebody would pick Tesla to the Tesla truck, Cybertruck, to try to blow the place up, which didn't work. There is a reason people said, well, look, it's Elon Musk and Trump. So they've got the terror attack in New Orleans, and now there's a Trump hotel. Let's make a mockery of this, which they have, by using a Cybertruck to try to blow up the Trump hotel. This is what the left is all about, death and destruction. If you're a Democrat, you belong to a death cult. And I make no apologies. You belong to a death cult if you vote Democrat. Whether it's abortion, whether it's all of this violence that the mainstream media has pushed, and all of this garbage. But I don't think there's that connection. I don't think is valid. And here's the reason why. I personally think the Cybertruck is really ugly and really expensive. And really ugly and really expensive is, to me, kind of a bad combination. I don't like the futuristic look. But if you look at how the Cybertruck is made, and you look at the pictures of the explosion, what direction did the explosion go? In which direction did it go? It went up. It went straight up. The bulk of the exterior, the sides, the bulk of that are in place on that truck because it's built that way. It's built with a heavier gauge steel. And if you're going to blow that thing up, you will be able to directionalize, that's not a word, give direction to your explosives by virtue of the fact that the easiest way out of that vehicle is up, not to the sides, and is up is where it was trying to go. I know that entrance well. I've been there several times. I've only stayed there once, but it's going to go up into the building, which was the intent, that the explosions would reach the top of the first floor, which is very, very high. But nonetheless, you wouldn't be able to do that blowing up a Mazda. It's going to blow out in all directions. Yeah, it will hit the front door. The interesting thing is this thing didn't have enough explosive to actually reach the top of the first floor. And since it only went up and it didn't go sideways, there was no damage even to the front door. So all the only thing that was accomplished here is that this crazy loon killed himself. He was estranged from his wife, an eight-month-old baby. You can talk Green Beret and all that mishmash. Green Beret probably are embarrassed about having one of their own pull this crap. So I don't see a connection between Elon Musk as the owner of Tesla and then the Cybertruck and that happening at the Trump Hotel. I don't see that. But that's not my bigger concern. Because we moved down to New Orleans, a city I haven't been to. Been to Vegas many times. I've preached there. I love preaching in Las Vegas. I have had nothing but great experiences preaching in Las Vegas. You got a church that'd like to have me? You know what? Let me know. I'm a drive away here in Arizona. But let me just start with Biden. When I say the hounds of hell are amongst us, let's start at the top with Joe Biden. I can't wait for him to leave and just go away to Rehoboth, or however you pronounce it, Beach in Delaware, and just pass away. Just go, just die peacefully in the middle of the night, because you got hell waiting for you, Joe. To call himself a Christian is blasphemy. You know a tree by its fruit. His fruit sucks at every level. Every level. So, you know, that's not to say he might not get saved, but the problem is he thinks he is. And those people never do. When they really are convinced that they're saved, they don't think they have to. Never do. Most of the time they don't. But so what does he do? His first reaction. It's interesting here because after the New Orleans attack, we didn't hear jack out of Joe at first. Not at first. And when he did speak, what is the first thing he said? He said, this isn't ISIS. This isn't Al-Qaeda. The problem here is white supremacy. Are you kidding me? Are you that much of a nimrodic, moronic, idiotic jackass? And of course, I say that with all due respect. You know, I was listening to this program. I don't know the name of the program. It's a podcast, a video podcast, of course, and which I'm not. I'm still praying about that. Four black guys who were obviously all pro-Trump, and a lot of black men are pro-Trump. They know a man when they see one and hear one. They appreciate somebody who's got guts, and they also have sympathy for somebody who's the victim of severe lawfare, prosecutorial abuse, political attacks. He's just on the wrong side of the fence in a justice system that actually only really knows injustice. They identify with that. And these guys were talking, so I cannot believe Joe is talking about white supremacy. Are you kidding me? A newsflash, Joe. The election is over. You can quit lying now. The election is over. Your history and bad history. Obama's thrilled because he's no longer the worst modern-day president in American history. You are. And so this, he thinks he's still, I don't know what he thinks he's doing. He's just stuck in a rut with the same old crap from the last 4 years, mindlessly talking about white supremacy and blah, blah, blah. You want to know what white supremacy is, Joe? It's some nincompoop, is that a nice enough word? Like you, being in government office for your entire life, sucking out of a government trough because you have an elitist mentality that thinks that you're above everything and you can condone whatever you do, including pardoning your stupid son, and then incriminate everybody else in the name of white supremacy. You want to know white supremacy, Joe? Go look in the mirror, you elitist snob. So now we get over to CNN. I don't know if you're glad that with 2025 I have not lost my enthusiasm. Sometimes I really would like to, but the times seem to force something else upon me. I sometimes feel like Jeremiah. I identify with Jeremiah and Ezekiel more than anybody else in Scripture. I have a job to do. There's a lot of people don't like what I say, but that doesn't really matter. If God told me to say it, then I got to go say it. And Jeremiah said that, you know, he doesn't want to, and I'm not speaking prophetically like Jeremiah was. Don't get me wrong there. But there are things that I'm compelled to say I don't really want to say. But they, like Jeremiah said, I can't stop. I try to shut it up inside me and my bones burn. Or how that expression is, I burn inside. And woe unto me if it doesn't come out. So let's jump over here to something. This just blows me away. CNN, doesn't really matter which hack or hag is on there is talking, because they're pretty much, other than Mr. Jennings, they're all the same. But they're saying they're still campaigning. They're saying that they made this big deal. There is no proof that our open borders played a part of Shin Bob Elkumpoop, or whatever the heck that guy's name was, in New Orleans. Because he was born in Texas. He was a natural-born citizen in the United States. Well, maybe he was a birthright baby. Maybe the parents snuck across. I don't know about that. He was born here. Yes, he is a natural citizen of the United States. They say, so open borders, therefore, open borders had nothing to do with this. Nothing to do whatsoever. See, they're still trying to attack Trump. They are still campaigning against him. CNN, you lost the election. Communist News Network, look, your ratings suck. Why don't you take a clue? People don't believe you. And I might add, I actually happened onto several other podcasts. What was his name? Dvorky? I can't think of it. It's just a super program. The young black guy. Man, smart, articulate, Trump guy. But more than Trump, he's common sense guy, an American guy. CNN, Communist News Network, really fits. Because they think that this is proof positive that Trump is absolutely wrong. That that person was born in the United States means he didn't come across the border. This isn't some Al-Qaeda or ISIS guy coming from Syria or Iran or Saudi Arabia. This is not a replay of 9/11. And therefore, Trump, you're absolutely wrong. So knock it off. CNN, I'm going to teach you something right now. Your savior, Joey No Brains Biden, let in multiple millions of people. We know that. You can't deny it. Multiple millions of people. We have more Al-Qaeda-based or linked and ISIS-linked, terror-linked, Houthi-linked people coming into this country in 4 years. It's been Ali Ali Oxen all and free. Here's what you are missing, CNN, and you're missing it badly. 9/11 required outside influence. It required outside organization. It required an orchestration of events that originated outside this country. Yeah, you had your actors, your players in this country, but they aren't the ones who necessarily organized it. That's very clear. Bin Laden wasn't in the United States. That was organized and orchestrated and planned outside the United States. We have had such open borders that the organization, the planning, the orchestration, the mapping out, the connections, the media connections, and social media. Why the heck the stupid FBI? What are you, a federal? What does FBI stand for? A feckless batch of incompetence? That they haven't picked up on this guy's social media post talking about killing everybody? No, you're just after J6ers. You know why? The Babylon Bee said it really well. We know this guy isn't a terrorist because he was not involved in J6. Those are the only terrorists to the left, to the death cult, the Democrats, is if you were part of J6. Here's the difference. All of that infrastructure, ISIS infrastructure, as a result of open borders, now lies within the United States. The enemy is amongst us. The hounds of hell are amongst us. Yeah, it starts with Biden and Cammy No Brains Harris, goes down to Alejandro Mayorkas. Take a hike, Mayorkas. Get saved. I hope you get saved, but if you don't, I hope your time on earth is short. Because you are an enemy. You are a domestic enemy of this country. You absolutely are. Letting all of these people in, unvetted, you are a traitor. And after Trump gets elected, gets sworn in, he should be tried for treason. Giving aid to the enemy. Who's the enemy? He knows that ISIS is coming in. He knows that whack job Iranians are coming in and Houthis are coming in. He knows that. They're on our terror watch list. They're identified as terrorist organizations. If he's letting them in, he is giving aid and comfort by an open admission to this country to the enemy. Clear as can be. But the point here is that the infrastructure for these activities are inside the United States now. That's why, Communist News Network, you couldn't be more wrong, you couldn't be more screwed up than to say that open borders had nothing to do with this guy. He doesn't have to have some special communication network to connect him to Saudi Arabia. No, he's just got to get hooked up with that whack job Muslim mosque in Houston, which refuses to cooperate with the FBI. Oh, but you can't touch them. They're protected class. Not if they're trying to kill you, they aren't. We have homegrown terror because the network is inside the United States. The radicalization takes place inside the United States. The communication networks amongst the radicals are inside the United States. And it's here because of Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas. And Cammie, I'd like to say she's responsible, but she couldn't find the border with a compass. So why do we have this problem? It goes right back to the top. The hounds of hell start at the very highest levels of the administration in this country. Can it be salvaged? Can it be saved? I don't know. You know, we're going to keep praying. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Now, interestingly, I want to shift to something here. The actual act itself of this guy, this is just horrible. And, you know, I like I said, I've never been to New Orleans. I got admitted to Tulane Law School for an advanced law program in admiralty law. I just, you know, hey, I grew up in the Great Lakes, lived in Grand Haven, a lot of shipping all over the place. It seems kind of cool. Ships, water, and law. I could make money and have fun. Or in the other order, have fun and make money. Well, I didn't do that. And the reason I didn't is because of a couple of people, and one in particular, a gentleman, both a lawyer and a doctor, a medical doctor, who grew up there, said, you do not want to go there. You cannot take your two young boys at that time, very young boys, like 7 and 3, I think, or something. You can't take them to New Orleans. It's a horrible, corrupt, filthy city in many respects. I'm sure there's a lot of great people there. I'm sure there's a lot of great churches. But let's go back to Katrina. Katrina, what does the word Katrina mean? Remember that Hurricane Katrina hit, 48 hours, 36 hours, something like that, before the big queer pride event for which 125,000 queers came in to New Orleans to celebrate what they called the Festival of Decadence. Welcomed by the mayor, Mr. Chocolate himself, I can't think of his name, but that's what he called himself. The Festival of Decadence, where every sordid sodomistic perversion was celebrated or to be celebrated in the streets of New Orleans. 125,000 people, 125,000 homos, and whatever they bring with them. And so Katrina hits, wipes the city out. What does the word Katrina mean? Word means cleansing. Isn't that interesting? So we've got these two cities that seem to find it kind of focus particularly on sin. You got, I want Las Vegas. What? I mean, I love the city, and yet it's called Sin City, right? Well, that's not, I don't think that that's why terrorist hit the Trump Hotel, because he could hit the Trump Hotel in different places. But he's from Colorado, and I think the Las Vegas Hotel, Trump Hotel, was the closest one to Colorado Springs, which is where he was from, I think. I don't think it goes any deeper than that. But this thing in New Orleans, you know, it's 3:15 in the morning. You know, what's going on in the streets? I don't know. I'm not saying these people deserve it. Of course I'm not. But there seems to be a measure of tragedy with this city that, and Jesus made it very clear, just because something terrible happens doesn't mean these people have sinned. He makes that very clear. He said, hey, do you think that the Tower of Siloam that fell and killed 18 people, do you think those 18 were, you know, worse sinners than others? No. But by the same token, he also says, you reap what you sow, and other places that will connect at times, like Sodom and Gomorrah, a judgment for their behavior. So the point of the scriptures are we don't know when it's God's judgment and when it isn't. And I'm not going to suggest that this is the case here, that it's any judgment from God. But there is something that the Lord spoke to me, woke me up last night, and it comes out of the scripture, Psalm 127:1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And here's the part that applies. Except the Lord keeps or watches over the city or guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, if the Lord is not involved in protecting a place, those who are attempting to protect it are doing so actually in vain. Now, I don't want to take this too far, but I'm just kind of throwing this out for a consideration, because what I found interesting, there are 300 cops assigned to New Year's Eve duty. 300 cops. They had the streets, Bourbon Street and Canal Street. I only know those streets because I read about them and not because I've ever been there. They had them blocked off with cruisers and barricades so nobody could do that. They had taken all of the necessary precautions that they felt could reasonably be needed to protect that area. And what did this guy do? He went around, apparently on a sidewalk, around the barricades and the police cruisers. He got around them. You can't have it all blocked, right? Because then the people can't get through. So you've got to leave the sidewalks open, or a portion of the sidewalks, for people to get in and out of those areas, because they can't have them jumping over, ducking under barricades and sliding between police cars. And so what did this guy do? He just took the route that the pedestrians took. You see, all of the cops and all the barricades did not protect Bourbon Street and Canal Street. Is this a case of unless the Lord guards a city, those who are assigned to guard it attempt to do so in vain? Maybe. I don't know. It's just a thought to ponder. And it would be nice if there was an evangelistic outreach in New Orleans that just set the world on fire. It would be great. There are some great churches. I mean, I know I lost a dear friend, a gal from Baton Rouge, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as she would say, who passed away too young. Great woman of God. And I have met other people. You know what? I have never met anybody from Louisiana, whether in school or outside. Honestly, I've never met a single one from Louisiana that wasn't Christian. And I don't mean in name only. I mean, I was absolutely convinced by their testimony. And yet there's a lot of sordid behavior and sin that sort of marks that city. It needs to be prayed for, lifted up, and evangelized down on Canal Street and Bourbon Street. And maybe next time, next New Year's Eve, the revelry will be at least a bit protected, because maybe there are godly people watching over the city, God himself. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, man, I love that song. That's good old rock and roll by who? Can you name it? Cat Mother and the All Night Newsboys. Wow. Okay, so last week we spent quite a bit of time on Trump derangement syndrome, which has now spread to and become, there's a new thing out there, Musk derangement syndrome, which is what some think that the whole Las Vegas deal was about. But whenever I experience something personally that reflects something that I've said or a position that I've made on the air, I like to bring it to you, and it happened just yesterday in the Trump derangement syndrome. This is how detached from reality these people are. Now, my wife is a wrangler. If you don't know what a wrangler is, it's a person who will take dudes out on horseback rides, in this case through the desert, because it could be anywhere, and just take, it's kind of a an equine docent, if you will, on rides through the desert and tell them about the flora, the fauna, and so forth. And these are people who, most of the time, really just, maybe they've never ridden a horse or very little. Or some, they're from Vermont, and they miss riding their horse, and they want to ride one here in the desert. I get it. And she loves the job. She doesn't get paid diddly. It's like the worst-paying job in the whole world. But she says, I can't believe I actually get paid to ride a horse. Well, God bless her. She loves it. Once a year, I ride with her. I've had horses in the past, a couple of horses. I've kind of lost that desire. I'm a companion rider. That's all it is. And we had a grandson with us, an 8-year-old grandson, who was visiting for the week, and so she wanted to take him out. And so we went out for a ride in the desert for about an hour and a half or whatever, and had a good time. Came back in, and the head wrangler, I'm getting backed up here. They have a list of all the horses up on a great big blackboard. And when people sign up for the ride, they put the name of the rider next to the horse to which they have been assigned based upon the sheet that the rider fills out indicating how experienced they are or lack thereof, what it is that they want to do on the horse, and they try to basically match the rider with a horse. So there is a horse in the stable this year, about 100 horses. There's a horse named Trump. Okay. It's funny already to me. So, and these horses are rented and so forth. A few of them belong to the ranch, but most of them are rented for the winter time. And so they got Trump. And so the head wrangler was telling me, well, there was this woman. I said, and so you are assigned Trump. And then he came back to her. And I said, who are you assigned to? She folded her arms. And with a nasty tone in her voice, said, Trump. She didn't want that horse, but that's the one she was assigned. Okay. She goes on the ride, and I hear about it afterwards because out on the trail, she was kicking the horse up and then holding him back and basically whipping him, which no rider is supposed to do. I mean, I don't think the Wrangler knew about it, because Wrangler's out front. You got you might have 12, 13 people behind you. But then there was a Wrangler in the back, and this woman had Trump derangement syndrome and had it so badly, such a disconnection with reality, she was taking it out on the horse named Trump. She was vicariously whipping and beating and kicking Donald Trump. That is how bad Trump derangement syndrome is and how far it's infected so many parts of life. I just can't believe it. Well, I'm going to go back to the New Orleans thing here for just a minute, and then we're going to talk about something that may not shock you, probably won't shock you, actually, given what we've been talking about. So do you think that this guy who killed everybody in New Orleans, do you think he's a Democrat or Republican? You know, that's a no-brainer. And then we have Aletha, I'm getting it's probably Aletha Duncan, who's a special agent in charge of New Orleans. She comes out right away and says it's not a terrorist attack. She doesn't know jack squat diddly of what's gone on yet. And like Biden, says this is not a terrorist, this is not ISIS, this is not Al-Qaeda, this is white supremacy. Goodness. Well, white supremacy, if you've seen this guy, he's Middle Eastern, which means he's pretty dark-complexioned, right? White supremacy involves killing 15, and I don't know if everybody was white and down there in Bourbon Street. I don't know. I know some of them were. I've seen a couple of pictures. But what's white supremacy have to do with the guy from the Middle East killing predominantly white people and then injuring 30 more people who are predominantly white? No, that's white victimhood. Aletha, Joe, that's white victimhood. That's not white supremacy. It's the exact opposite of what you say. In fact, how do you know these days if it's a terrorist attack? When the FBI comes right out and says it's not. Even though he's got an ISIS flag, even though he's got multiple guns and ammo, even though he's got improvised explosive devices in his pickup truck. My goodness. And I've got to say, this is my sense why Joe Biden took so long to say one doggone stinking thing about this other than that this was white supremacy. Because he was disappointed. He wasn't saddened. He was disappointed that the 15 weren't killed with guns. You see, if this Shabar El Nincompoop, whatever the heck his name is, had he just gone in there with automatic rifles and killed, shot 15 and injured 30, Joe would have been on TV in a nanosecond, decrying gun violence, calling for gun controls, calling for the elimination of assault rifles. But Joe was disappointed because yet again, it's another Muslim using a motor vehicle. So what should we put a control on? What do we ban? Do you think we should start no longer allow renting white Ford 150s to Muslims? Will that bring a halt to it? Look, the left is so screwed up. I just cannot believe that people were so stupid as to vote for Joe Biden in the first place. And if you did, you need to confess it to God. I'm serious. You really do. It doesn't matter. I mean, now the FBI has finally said, okay, it's terrorism. Aletha Duncan got overruled. Look, we already look like a pack of idiots to a bunch of people because we come down on J6ers and some grandmother praying outside of an abortion clinic. That's who we're nailing these days. But not these thugs from some mosque in Houston or wherever they come from. Or the guy in Las Vegas is a white guy. It's not confined to a particular racial group. But the fact that the FBI gets to pick and choose its victims, that's what it's come down to. Trump can't get there soon enough. How much he can do, I don't know. But the fact is that this guy, finally they couldn't deny it anymore. He's got a virtual ISIS manifesto online, calls for killing people, the social media trail, the ISIS flag. Goodness sakes, how can you? Babylon Bee did a great satire on it. It says, no, the fact that he had an ISIS flag doesn't mean he's a terrorist. No, the fact that he's got a ISIS manifesto online, that doesn't mean a terrorist. And the reason we know he's not a terrorist was because he wasn't part of the J6 alleged insurrection. Only those guys are the terrorists. Sheesh. But I'm serious. I really think that the length of time Joe took to talk about it was, he's just thinking, doggone it, why couldn't this guy have used an AR-15 instead of a Ford 150? Why do we have, where's his name here, Shamsuddin Jabbar? I think it should be Sam Dud Sin Jabbar would be the better pronunciation for this guy's name. And why do we have this? Well, I got to tell you, the University of Chicago released a poll. It's not shocking. It's stunning, but it's not shocking. The number of people that think that the use of force and violence is justified in order to keep Trump from becoming president. This is just, it's not shocking, but it's stunning to me. The numbers are out there. The people who think that there is a command to oppose this president without any limitation on the amount of violence, violent rhetoric, which of course turns into violence itself. And when all this violent rhetoric is Hitler, 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 well, who wouldn't want to try to shoot and kill Hitler? Who wouldn't want to try to run over Hitler with a truck? Well, Trump was right. He said, the only thing, they're after you, but I'm standing in the way. Well, he's elected. So now they're going after us. The partiers, this is the beginning. This is not the end of the terrorist attacks. And I'm glad I live in a state where concealed carry is allowed with or without a permit, and open carry is allowed with or without a permit. You see, you don't see shooting. You don't see mass shooting in this state. Well, you had, what's her name, Gabby Gifford. But where did that occur? It was a Democrat rally. It was a Democrat that shot her. So, anyway, enough of that. But we have what Jonathan Turley calls, he's a great law professor. I think he teaches at Notre Dame's law school, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be. He said, the left has turned this country via the bombardment, and I'm paraphrasing now, bombardment of hate-filled rhetoric against conservatives, against conservatism, against Christians, all seemingly personified by Donald Trump. We are now moved on to living, and these are his words, in an age of rage. An age of rage. And you know, I find it interesting that the scripture back in Genesis makes reference to the fact that when God decided to destroy the earth, it came down to a point where what? Well, there was gross sin, we know that. But the gross sin was actually not, it was the genesis, no pun intended, of what followed after that. But it wasn't that by itself that brought God to the point of having to take some serious measures with what was happening on this earth. And what was it? He says at the end of the passage, which I think is in chapter 6. Let me see. Yes, it is in chapter 6, and I'm going to read it. Noah's been given the orders to build the ark. And it says in chapter 6, verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And he walked with God." Meaning that he was, and in that point in time, he was as much of a man of God as you could have. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And all flesh had corrupted the way upon the earth." The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So the last thing manifesting itself on planet Earth before God decided that, you know what, I think I'm going to have a do-over here and wipe out everybody but Noah and his family. The last manifestation of the descent into a moral abyss was that all of the immorality led to the world being filled with violence. You see, if we had a more moral country, we wouldn't have the violence. If we had a more moral country, we wouldn't execute more children in the womb every single day than what died in 9/11. We wouldn't be mutilating young children's bodies and removing young girls' breasts and then genital mutilation of young boys. That's violence. Abortion is violence. The left is a death cult. And as it spreads, the violence spreads. And now we are reaping what has been sown, not just by Joe Biden, because ultimately, I'm going to tell you, I lay the ultimate blame for the decline and the descent into debauchery of this country on a gutless and feckless church. Eunuchs in clerical garb who want to be liked by people more than they want to be liked by God. They want to have the approval of their peers more than the approval of the creator of the universe. And as such, they become no longer salt and light. They are grease and darkness. They are the facilitators of the descent into the abyss. And if they stood up and weren't so worried about their popularity, perks, privileges, and paychecks, we wouldn't be where we are. You see, it's the abdication of the one thing that pastors are commanded to do, is to tell the truth. Like, I'm an attorney. You go into law. You get sworn in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Why don't we ask that of pastors by churches when they are supposedly vetted? Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth? So help you God. And only the truth. The whole truth. That's the key. They may say a few things that are true, but the whole truth, the whole counsel? Speak the whole counsel of God? No. They don't have the cojones to do it. And that's why you have mainline denominations where you got queers in the pulpit, you got people supporting abortion. Well, you know that stuff. I've talked about it before. So it is that lack of salt and light and the manufacturing and dispensing of grease and darkness coming from the churches that basically anesthetizes the congregations, which leads to people like Obama and Biden being elected. They are the facilitators of the decline. The ultimate agents are the ones that are in power. As president, Department of Homeland Insecurity, Department of Injustice, you know, the usual suspects. And so full is the left and the evil of the left in being manifested there now is a call. I mean, Politico did an op-ed, and it's done by an attorney by the name of Max Steyer that is calling for federal employees to resist Trump from inside the administration. They're calling for a coup before Trump has taken office. They're not even going to wait to see what he's doing. They're calling for a coup in the sense of don't do your job. Resist him. Make him fire you. Resist him at every level possible. You see, what the left is actually calling for, and Trump hasn't taken office, they're calling for an insurrection, in essence, before he's sworn in. And trying to put the pieces together to be able to do that. A silent insurrection. A backdoor insurrection. An insurrection from the dark catacombs of the federal government and the deep state. We're not going to do anything that our bosses tell us. We'll stonewall. We'll do whatever necessary to not implement the programs of the ones for whom we work. Fire their sorry butts. I don't care. Let them sue the federal government. Let there be an enormous number of vacancies in Washington, D.C. because the federal government just got shrunk. Trump could go to Melania at night and say, honey, I shrunk the government. And we need it. And there are bad ones. Let some of them go on their own because they don't want to be caught in a position of disobedience because maybe they get crappy referrals. How sweet that would be, because they deserve it. But this is what these bad people are doing. I mean, I'm thrilled that J.D. Vance is the successor here. He is Trump's insurance policy. But we're going to have an inside insurrection. A quiet insurrection, a dark insurrection inside government by those resisting the new sheriff in town and all of the deputies that he is appointing. And then you have the fundamentally bad actors like Sinbad Nincompoop in New Orleans who's going to do this kind of stuff. And now, I don't know if you saw it, if you watched this protest in New York City calling for intifada, resurrection, people chanting. This, you know, sort of like the CEO of United Healthcare getting shot and killed, and all the people online who are thrilled with that. Unbelievable. 41% of the people polled or identified with a shooter. I mean, goodness sakes, the guy is a cult hero because the Democrats are a death cult. I mean, what he did or didn't do, I don't know, but he didn't do anything worth getting deserved being shot, executed before a fair trial, for which there was probably no trial that would fit whatever it was he was doing. And now the left is calling for it in intifada. This guy who, if he didn't get shot by cops. Honestly, in my opinion, I would have just hoped somebody on the street pulled out a gun and blew a guy's brains away after getting out of the truck and seeing that it was obviously intentional. And he's firing a gun from inside the truck. Screw the trial in self-defense. Let's skip that and be done with it. In self-defense, you have the right to do that. But what is this guy giving rise to? This guy's behavior is actually giving rise to people wanting to replicate and support what he did. just like with the CEO of United Healthcare. This is a country that's being filled with violence. Can Mr. Trump save it? Well, no, he can't. Certainly by himself, he cannot. He has to have the blessing of God to do what God would do to bring this under control, if it can be done. But is it our last great chance? And if it fails, are we done? Well, maybe so, because like I said at the beginning of the program, the hounds of hell are amongst us. They're no longer overseas. They're living in the cities near you and near me. They are everywhere. The ISIS cell groups are here and there. They're gangs, cartel gangs, MS whatever it is, are in so many cities. Only God can get us out of this. And it's not going to be without pain. But that doesn't change what we're supposed to do, does it? No. Our job hasn't changed. You proclaim the truth in love. Sit tall in the saddle, America, because you ride for a brand, the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.